Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. In just a few seconds, Tim Riley joins us from the Ministry of Truth and Dennis Pitzenbarger from the Fuel Show and so forth. Coming up at 3, like us, Don and Mike at 7. Don't forget, Don and Mike return with brand new episodes January 2nd. So, you know, what's a good six-week vacation? Let's see, what do I have here? Rick, I can't figure out how to send a message to the station. This is someone who's emailed me. I'm sending this to you. I'm glad Stephanie Miller's on to 11 a.m. I can now listen to the station all the way from 9 to 3. It saved me from having to listen to Al Franken laugh at his own jokes. Please pass this on. Well, thank you, Kathy. Rick. Stephanie Miller is now on from, she's on from 7 a.m. To 11 a.m., leading right up to this very fine radio program.
Yeah, and I was listening to her. She is really very funny.
She really is. And that's, I am a big fan of Stephanie Miller. I really am.
I was just kind of impartial for a while there, and actually listening to her, I'm like,
It's a funny, because she was a comedian by trade, and then she got into radio. But she's been in radio for a long time. She started with Steve Dahl, like, way back in the day. And Rick, guru of all that is whatever, Stephanie Miller had a 22-minute discussion today of the phrase, kill, kill, die, die. I don't understand. Star Trek and Alice's Restaurant possible source. Oh, where the phrase came from? I thought that was a Daffy Duck thing. Down, down, go, go, stay, stay, mine, mine. Sorry, I just went a little wacky there. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Man, it looks like they pinpointed the location over to those damn fools lost in Mount Hood. Apparently, they found the whereabouts of Kelly James. He's the injured climber who was hiding in a mountain cave.
I've got a broken leg. I can't go on.
But they go back to Texas.
Seriously.
Apparently, his cell phone company found out where he was.
This email says, Rick, did you ever hear about a Portlander getting lost in some muddy-ass Texas river? Do you ever see CNN spend hours upon hours covering the story of someone from Portland getting lost in the New York subway system?
Some Fort Worth stockyard?
No. Why? Because we Northwesterners know our goddamn place in this country. We can look at an environment and within a scant 5 seconds determine if the environment will kill you dead. Except for people from Gresham and Beaverton. They're kind of on the dense side as well.
Here's Tim Ryan. So anyway, they're focusing their efforts on Zigzag Canyon. That seems to be a logical error to take a hike now, doesn't it? The trio stranded on Mount Hood are described by friends and family as experienced climbers who sought the challenge of scaling the mountain in tough conditions. They may pay a heavy price for it.
They thought wrong.
It's not a laughing matter, you Texans. Let's think about holiday gift-giving, shall we? And leave them to the problem they got themselves into.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
I can't feel my legs.
Christmas, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Oh, that melted snow must taste delicious by now.
Enjoy your last drink of life. All right, here's Tim Ryan.
But anyway...
You're a bad person. Why do you do this?
Sometimes I think you guys have no souls.
No, I mean...
You're laughing.
Yes, I am. Well, seriously, I mean... Come on.
They're searching Zigzag Canyon. That seems to be a good place for people who've never been here to take a little hike. Zigzag Canyon.
Let's see, we could go up an easy, narrow path road, and then we could go down a windy, twisty, kill-me-dead triangle of doom cavern. Let's go that way. And then and I'll guarantee you, they walked by an old guy who went, there's a curse on that canyon, you're doomed! And then they went, crazy old man, let's just keep on walking.
Let's see you Texans do the do-si-do and get yourself out of that one. Tango Magazine editor Sirico Danny says, buying a gift for a new love can be intimidating.
Especially if you're in a relationship that's just beginning. You know, gift-giving is so telling, and I think people put a lot of pressure on themselves. For that, but
you know,
honestly, you know this person, you know, so just do the best you can.
That is
the worst advice ever.
She's just starting.
Yeah, we've got two more cuts from her. This is Tango Magazine, which focuses on love and relationships.
She's just some chick.
She said, I don't know, whatever.
I don't know, just puns. I mean, come on.
She says that women are not necessarily better gift givers than men.
Women are shopping all the time, and guys don't really shop all that often, so maybe they sort of store up all their shopping creativity for this, you know, these few special gifts. I mean, in my experience, I've gotten great gifts from men.
She has no idea what she's talking about.
I have no
idea. She's the editor of Tango Magazine.
She's not. She's someone who happened to be sitting in the office delivering bagels when they came by interviewing somebody. And all that, do you work here?
Yeah.
Well, here, opine on gift giving. That's the worst advice ever.
Danny says, when buying for a significant other, it's best to avoid gag gifts.
There's some ideas, gift ideas that are sort of ironic, but may not be taken the right way if the person's not sharing your sense of humor with it. I mean, that's the one thing I would stay away from.
I got your
gag
gift.
They can make
gift.
People gag.
See, you and I went the same, you and I went down the same road, and then we diverged.
I was waiting for you to
end.
Pick it up, didn't you?
Tim Riley with the gift that'll make you gag, and then me with the more blunt reference. All right.
And repeating, those nitwits are still not found on Mount Hood.
Hope you enjoy your trip. Rob, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up? Fine.
Hey, I believe that you have to pay like $80,000 or something to be able to climb Mount Everest. So that,
like, a deposit.
And you know what they do when you climb Mount Everest and you die? They leave you there.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. They call it, it's a place called...
Really?
Because there's no... It's so difficult to get up there and back just climbing that there's no way to bring anything back with you. You leave supplies there. You get the closer you get to the top of Everest. There's a great, great, great book about climbing Everest. Do you know 1 in 4 people who climb Everest die?
Yeah.
How about that?
There's a great book called Into Thin Air by a guy named John Krakauer. And it was also a documentary. It's about the 96 Everest disaster. Yeah, you get into a place, they call it the death zone. And you climb, and I hate to sound cold, but I mean, come on, you're climbing through something called the death zone. But yeah, anybody who dies up there, it is so impossible to get up there and to get down in one piece just climbing up and back. That, yeah, much less trying to carry some 200-pound guy. Yeah, you die there, you stay there.
So Oregon should start charging all these idiots that want to come and climb our mountain, and maybe we can, buy a couple helicopters to go up and save them and actually
Seriously.
Make a profit.
I mean, it is absolutely true. And it just give us your epitaph in advance and so forth. Damn Texans. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. If you want to read a great thing about Everest, it's called Into Thin Air by John Krakauer. And yeah, if you start falling behind, you die, you whatever, you will be living the rest of eternity up on the mountain.
There's a show on right now. It's a documentary about a bunch of guys that went and tried to climb Everest this May.
Yeah.
Beyond the Limit, I believe it's called.
Right. Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. You should check that out.
There's Beyond the Limit, which is the one where the guy, they left him for dead. There's one called, it's got a terrible title. It's called Death Mountain. It's on Discovery, but it's based on the same disaster in 96 that Krakauer's book is based on. And then there's other movies like Touching the Void.
No,
and
this
all
was
that.
A reality show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They went up, and this May, they follow these group of guys, went up and made an attempt on the summit, and it's like split up into like 10 shows, and it shows their way up and their way down.
Jesus. I mean, it just it's
If
insane.
One out of four people died going up Mount Everest, I wouldn't want to go with a pack of friends, because it's like, okay, if you go with 8 people, 2 of them probably aren't coming back.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
maybe you should go with a pack of dogs.
The hardest thing has got to be when you're, I don't know as a human being and, with my constitution, if somebody's laying there and they're still breathing, you got to walk on by.
Yeah, well, they talk about into thin air. They talk about that where it's like you get to a point where you're at the top of Everest, and it's like your oxygen is running out and everything. And there's some guy there kind of going, because he's chosen poorly and he's decided to try to make. Because they'll do the thing with the 96 thing is where the storm started to close in and the guide, the Sherpa guy, is like, okay, we should turn back now. And of course, it is always idiot rich white people who have so little going on in their lives. They're independently wealthy. They have no actual hobbies, no real interest that like normal human beings are involved in. And they think that because they are wealthy and live like in the upper 5% of society, that rules and gravity and laws of nature don't apply to them. And they interviewed some moron woman, which is like, my goal is to climb the highest mountain on all 7 continents. And there was a guy who was like, if you do this, you're going to die. And she's like, no, I've hired the best. And that was it. Didn't train, didn't learn, didn't study. She hired and bought the best guide she could. Dead. Goddamn dead.
My guide climbs the mountain just beautifully. If you want to rush and you want to, almost die, you should go spend a couple weeks in South Central in a tent.
Seriously. That's, exactly.
All right, have a good day, guys.
All right, thank you, sir.
People belong at home watching television.
That's right. I where I'll be late tonight? I'll be at home on the couch watching Discovery Channel programming about idiots who climb mountains. God damn.
All right.
Do we have more from the last-minute gift woman?
Especially if you're in a relationship that's just beginning. Gift-giving is so telling, and I think people put a lot of pressure on themselves. for that. But honestly, you know this person, you know, so just do the best you can.
I'll find more from her. I'm sure she has more to say. I'll call her up.
Except the lowest common denominator. Settle for less than what they
deserve.
How about
mountain climbing equipment?
Oh, good times. And, you know, no one else will say this. Really, I will guarantee you that right now, you turn on any of the news stations, and it's a day of courage and prayer for three brave souls lurking at the top of Mount Hood.
Bunch of fools.
Seriously. All right. There you go. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Radio Pro. Oh, let me find with the whole sounder. Ah, this is my fault.
Your dungeon master has placed you in a dreadfully precarious position. You're playing the most phenomenal game ever created. Your skin grows cold from your first glimpse of the enormous beast.
Your
imagination. Survival depends on a quick, decisive move. Your choices are limited. Stand and fight, or run. Use your lightning bolt. Victory is yours.
The treasure.
TSR Hobbies.
Dungeons and Dragons games.
Products of your imagination.
Dennis Bitzenbarger. Hello, sir.
All right. Do you have to play that Dustin Diamond guy thing?
I know it's so wrong.
No, I didn't even play the... wait, hold on.
Work the mojo. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Genius.
Yeah.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm having a fantastic day. I thought I'd share it with you.
Here, warm, snug as a bug is in a rug.
Something like that. Didn't wear a see-through shirt on purpose.
Not just on top of Mount Hood in
like
a cave.
Shiny.
It's like got the standard power tie. And I also know how to drive in the snow. So I'm, believe I'm 100%.
You know to stay off of huge mountains made out of ice that go straight up for 3 miles.
Well, I mean, to point out the obvious that everyone is just basically just... Why don't I go over and kick the dead horse, too? Is, you know, if you're...
That's what we're here for. Oh. Everybody else... You know, all eyes on Mount Hood as three brave souls attempt to weather the elements. And that, you know, there's no one else. Everybody else just starts rending their garments and wearing sackcloth and ashes about these nitwits who clearly don't know how to climb.
Well, let's get it down to the bottom, to use your own verbiage, to get it to the bottom of the page, or the lowest common denominator, is the fact that he's an idiot. No. And if you are actually in that position, you don't start shedding your clothing while walking randomly through the Mount Hood Forest in sub-degree weather. So, I mean, for me, you know, I know that you got some calls earlier in the week when you were talking about people saying, well, I carry this and I carry that in the back of my truck. I'm the same way. I get free four-wheel drives to go up. I went up with a four-wheel drive with my family up to Brown's Camp, which is just as treacherous as that, and I brought shovels and gas and flares and extra blankets, and I was going out for an afternoon.
Right.
I mean, just, you know, it's just basically common sense. And a guy, I mean, it just comes down to, God bless every engineer in the world, but I'm not relying on them to get me through the apocalypse.
Yeah, there comes a point when you should take advantage of the engineers who built your home, and you should stay there. You should stay home, wait for April to come around, wait for June.
Well,
go to a water park, go to the mall.
I'm just thinking, if you want to get your hike on, you know, you could maybe go over the construction at Clackamas Town Center, up and down the girders, Mounted National Forest. I don't know, sense of direction. I mean, I could just sit and beat this horse senseless.
Well, natural selection does have a good way of getting rid of people.
I mean, I will say this. I'm not trying to be completely black-hearted. I feel bad for the family. As a father, and as a married man, I feel bad for the lady and the kids. It's unfair for him to be ripped. But if you're going to get, you know, walking out in front of a train, you know, oops, I'm sorry, it happens. You know, some guy goes careening across the curb because of a flat tire, splatters you all over a curbside manner. Sorry about that.
Welcome to the lunch hour. Thanks.
Oh, sorry. No, we're past the lunch hour. It's snack time.
Get a couple of these here. Let's see, our good friend Kristen from accounting. And then we're so behind on these LA Guns tickets. What's up, sister? This is not Kristen. I'm sorry, this is Jeff. I'm sorry, that's my fault. That's my fault. What's up, Jeff?
Well, I just wanted to say, if we start charging for people to come up and climb Mount Hood, will we get an influx of Sherpas moving to Sandy and Gresham?
Totally. You see,
all right, then.
Now, I don't know how they do it, if there's some sort of a deposit that you have to put down, or some sort of a... But, I mean, it's like you can't... I don't know. It seems like there are certain levels of the mountain that it's very, very difficult to get to. And it's like you got to go through a lot of the state authorities, I think, to get into some of those areas.
Well, I think it would be a good idea if they started charging and the Sherpas moved in, because then Columbia Sportswear could have their new Sherpa line come out. It'd be good for the economy.
Wait, hold on. Let me just. Thank you, sir. Right. There, he was just waiting for that. That was really all he was looking
for.
He
loaded it up good.
Kristen from accounting on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Well, howdy.
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to kind of continue with, there's the music. With Rob's thoughts on the whole, you know, charging for climbing. And I seem to remember, I could be wrong about this, but I seem to remember when I lived in L.A., there was always, like, yearly, it was like an excursion to the L.A. River. When the one time it rained, the river would fill up, and, you know, there would always be some guy that jumped in, woo, you know, jumped in and thought, swim down the L.A. River.
Totally.
And they'd have to jump in and rescue him. And yeah. If I remember correctly, they would charge your butt for
that's
that
exactly
stuff.
What I was saying. You know
you
what?
You get a bill because you're a dumbass.
Wait, she talking about, like, those you're talking about the concrete rivers, right?
Yeah,
like the runoff.
The Terminator 2 things.
Yeah, that is the total natural selection. Exactly. There's some idiot in L.A. that goes, you know what? I think I'll end my life.
Guy, yeah.
And you'd see the looks on these guys' faces, you know, the fire department guys, the search and rescue guys, and the looks on their faces were just like, another one.
And the guy is being swept along. I did not anticipate this outcome!
You know, yeah, grabbing onto bicycles and tires and stuff that's floating down the road. Because it's, you know, it's a concrete.
Well, you know, Roop said that this guy who set the fire a few months ago that they had to fly in and rescue, they charged his ass for that. He set a forest fire by accident, but it was by accident, meaning like he went to sleep with the fire still burning, surrounded by wood. Let me build a toasty fire surrounded by wood and sleep.
Yeah, once again, as Dennis was saying, common sense, people.
Yeah, seriously.
If you don't have it, stay home with the TiVo and watch other people do it.
That's what I do. I know the thing. It is a known unknown.
Yeah.
As Donald Rumsfeld would say.
It might be a bit of an investment.
Kristen. There you go. That's Kristen from accounting.
Maybe the National Parks for Oregon could just put up TV screens in front of each one of these entrances and just have kind of rolling footage of each idiot that has been either hellebacked
really
out.
There ought to be that as you're walking up Mount Hood, there ought to be,
they thought they were prepared. Grieving family members tell the story.
And then it's, you know, yeah, that's...
It was 0 degrees and I had shorts on.
Clay, you're on the... You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hello. Oh, thank God I got through. I'm stuck on Mount Tabor, right? My rollerblade through a truck, and I'm down to half a bottle of Viso, and it's like a half-mile walk to the nearest plant pantry. I don't know what I'm going to do.
The best show ever.
I do want my Uncle Charlie sausage, though.
Wait, hold on. Let me just with the...
I want my Uncle Charlie sausage.
Thank you.
In my hand...
I believe you could drink the water of the reservoir, but watch out for the floating bums.
Yes, it's true.
We love you, Rick.
All right, thank you, Clay.
Bye.
There you go, fantastic. No real point to that call, but funny nonetheless. Do we have to break? Well, let me take this final call, and then Scotty, as we go to the break here, we need to take caller number 5 for Spot the Fake Mental Alerts. You've been too good at your job, Scotty. We have not been able to give these away. So we'll take caller 5 right now for Spot the Fake Mental Alerts. Pair tickets to LA Guns, Bullet Boys, and Appetite for Deception at Outlaws this Thursday. It's 503-733-2970. Jesse, what's up?
Hey, man, I was just going to say, instead of repeating Stephanie Miller, maybe you should come on an hour earlier.
Yeah, no, not going to happen. No.
Oh, come on.
I could do 5 hours of this show.
You know what?
We could all,
you know, as long as I keep getting paid for it, I'll stay home and you can do 5 hours of the show. Okay, pal?
All right.
Thank you, Jesse. No, I appreciate the compliment. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it sounds jerky about it. But, you know, we did 3. Now we do 4. Not going to do 5. Not going. What did Dr. Phil say in that ad? Not going to happen. So we have Stephanie Miller. We repeat an hour of Stephanie. We take her 7 to 11. I will not be doing a 5-hour version of this program.
But you would get to everything, finally.
No. No, I
that's
wouldn't.
What they said about the 4 hours.
Seriously, they said that about this. All right. 503-733-2970. Back after this with Dennis Pitzenbarger. And Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics. Don't go anywhere. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Show, here with Dennis Pitzenbarger. Tim Riley returns in a few. We got to Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics in a second. We got to get these tickets given away, Scotty. You got to quit being so good. Rick, this email says, I'm going winter camping on Mount Hood later this month. When tragedy strikes, I will call this fine radio program first so you can laugh at my stupidity as I decide which of my friends to eat. Jeff. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
That's great.
Remember, go for the ass. It's 503-733-297. No, that's what you're supposed to do.
I thought you were supposed to go for the thigh.
Yeah, thigh.
No, it's all about the ass. Or that ass, as the kids say.
Well, I guess it's a preference whether or not you like chicken breasts or chicken legs.
You want chicken breast or chicken wings, honey?
Do you want like a big slab of something or?
Of ass?
Or a little bone to work off of.
I'm not touching that one.
Never mind, it made sense in my head.
Why, whatever are you talking about, Sarah?
Don't. I know what you're going to do.
You don't know what I'm going to do.
Yes, I do.
You don't. Whatever.
Later.
This one's big. I'm not going to. I know it.
What?
Is that it?
I'm sorry?
Nothing.
Something earlier this week about size. Wasn't there?
Let's move on. Let's get to Al. Al, hello, sir.
How you doing?
Are you ready to play Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics?
I am ready. Bring it on.
Okay. Confidence. All right, here's the deal. You know the drill?
Yes, I do.
I'm going to perform two sets of metal lyrics. One of them real, one of them fake, written by Scotty J. If you can spot the fake lyrics, you're going to see L.A. Guns, Bullet Boys, and Appetite for Deception this Thursday at Outlaws. Are you ready, sir?
I'm ready.
All right. As I always say, pay no attention to the order, the phrasing, the melody, etc. Here we go. Set of lyrics number one.
In the cell where I await my death.
Sorry.
In the cell where I await my death, the horses did ride and the bullets did fly. Ghost town demise, the hangman cometh to snap my neck. The townsfolk gathered murder's regret. Hangman cometh, the rope and the sweat. Old West never tame, not the end, no reprieve and stuff.
All right, there you go. Lyrics make no sense at all. All right, here's a set of lyrics number two.
The darkness has the power, and it has come to rule. You better pray for your life, for it's an evil circle. These don't rhyme. You better prepare, don't take care, you're gonna die.
You, there's no phrasing here.
You better watch out, don't let it out. Night danger, I think it's time to turn. Night danger, before you're gonna burn.
Jesus. All right. One of those sets of lyrics was real. One of those sets of lyrics was fake. Sir, which set of lyrics was fake?
I gotta go with number one being fake.
Sarah?
I'm not gonna say.
You should guess.
Okay, I'd say number one.
Scott, Dennis?
I would have to say, I think number two.
Sir, is this your final answer?
I'm going to stick with number one being fake.
Sir, congratulations. You are going to see L.A. Guns.
Right on.
You were you identified Hangman Cometh by Scotty J as being fake. The second song was actually called Night Danger by the Pretty Maids. So there you go, sir. You are going to see L.A. Guns, Bullet Boys, and Appetite for Deception Thursday at Outlaws. Congrats. You're the first person in a long time. Scotty is typing damn, 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 damn. On the phone. Congratulations, Alan. Put you in hold. He'll get some more information from you.
Thank you very much.
All right, there you go. We'll try to get one more pair given away for the top of the hour. We'll do 80s rock trivia here sometime in the next, like, 20 minutes or so.
Scotty's very... He has quite the skill when it comes to that.
He's, I mean, better than... I mean, because you figured just by pure chance you'd get 50-50. Scotty gets, like, 80% of those. James, hello, sir.
Yes.
What's up?
I was calling about the climbing Mount Hood.
Yes.
They actually do charge you a fee to get a permit to climb Mount Hood.
Uh-huh.
And, it's not that much. I mean, they should raise it, all the people that get stuck up there. And then also, the guy that got hypothermia, that left his family.
Yeah.
When you get hypothermia, you actually start thinking that you're warm, so you strip down.
Well, that's the thing about that guy. That guy was a lot more, it was a lot more understandable what happened to James Kim than
right.
I think that these guys are on top of Mount Hood, because he, you know, it's the wrong turn, and where the hell am I, and the whatnot, and the hey. The freaky thing, we're talking about climbing Everest, the freaky thing about when you climb Everest is, I forget the actual name of it, but one of the leading causes of death on Mount Everest is that you don't get enough oxygen to your brain. And so it's like aphasia, which is where you can think of a word, but you can't say it. Like, you can think of the word, whatever, cracker, but you can't say it. Like, your mouth won't open to say it. You get this thing on Mount Everest because of the lack of oxygen, where you're sitting there, and you are aware that you're freezing to death, and you're telling your legs, like, come on, walk. Come on.
Right.
Gotta walk down, and your legs just won't move. And you're sitting there going, come on. Ah, come on. You know, and
little
then you're
parts of your body just start dying and leaving the rest of you up there.
Yeah, your legs are just like, I'm calling it a day. See ya. You know, and you're just sitting there kind of going, come on. You know, and it's just not a whole lot of moving. So it's a bad scene. Yeah.
Absolutely terrible.
Thank you.
Climb it.
Thank you, sir.
Anyways, best show ever.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Rick, these guys would have saved tons of... I've gotten a lot of these emails. Would have saved tons of grief by purchasing a $299 transponder. This always comes up when some douche gets lost, but they're out there to get away from electronic leashes. Maybe if they got a bill for the rescue, it'd be different. By the way, Mount Bachelor in Bend has a sign letting you know you will be charged if the state has to come rescue you. Well done, Bend. All right.
I agree. I would think nothing less.
Well, here's the thing. Talk a little bit about, which is there anything notable happens on the Fuel Show this weekend, the radio program?
The radio program, we're actually going to have Tony and the guys from Latest Harley-Davidson come in and talk about the 2007 Harley-Davidson and the Buells coming up. And next week we're going to have kind of that last-minute guy shopping guide. So, and it's sprinkled in a little car news.
Do you want to tell the story about your wife real quickly? This is a great story. This is a great story.
Well, did you guys get into another bar fight?
No. I did mess with somebody at a bar, but that was a totally different story. No, we were sitting there. We went to Gustav's to have a cocktail and some cheese fondue, a little snack on the weekend. And my wife says to me, you know, I know that she had bought my Christmas present. So I looked at her and I said, you know, I bet you a week's worth of chores. You have to do every chore in the house. Mind you, we have dogs, cats, fish, frogs, you know, sugar gliders, all these animals. You have to do all the chores in the house for a week if I can guess what you got me for Christmas. No way. Is it a bet? It's a bet. So I look at her and I go, and I mean, I detailed it down to, I said, you lied to me about going to Costco, took my debit card, went and got $300 in cash, went and got on Craigslist and got the poker table I was looking at from last night that was gray and black, and you got it from Bill and Lake Oswego, and then that's why you were 20 minutes late because you got caught in traffic. And she just sat there and turned pale white.
Oh, you took away her fun.
Well done.
So,
well done.
But what, see, way to beat her down.
Washing the joy and whimsy in another human being.
Well, so we bought Christmas hats and danced around the house naked. But I did I have a completely different rationale behind Christmas. What I do...
Don't you have a child? Did you buy a child a Christmas hat, too?
Yes, I did. Okay. She has little antlers. But what I...
Staple them right on.
Hey, at least I didn't buy them for my dog. Hey, listen.
Of course.
I did buy some for Muppet, excuse me.
Yay!
No,
oh,
Muppet.
What?
Max.
Muppet, sorry.
You sound like you're going crazy right now.
A little bit.
Anything you buy for my dog will not wear.
Muppet won't wear things on his head. I learned that the hard way.
No, Max won't wear anything on his head.
Muppet likes to wear like shirts and jackets, though.
Max right now is wearing a sweater. What? It's December.
I
keep the heat low.
Yeah, it's cold.
He really does have a... Not a sweater
sweater.
I have a hairy chest,
an
I am wearing a sweater.
No, he has an actual... Look, I didn't buy him the sweater.
Did you have those cut off when he was a puppy, or did you wait till later?
What am I going to do? Oh, I go home. I lay down the law in my household. You would know that if I came here and told you that I laid down the law in my house, you would all know that I was lying anyway. So what am I going to say? My wife bought a sweater for the dog. She dresses the dog up in a sweater. I just smile and I go along. To be fair, the dog sleeps in our bedroom, and our bedroom was 52 degrees the other night. So, I mean, you know, it's... Fur doesn't always help.
Muppet started doing this thing where he wedges between Nate and I while we're sleeping and lays with his head on the pillow directly in between us.
He's your pal. Yeah.
It's bizarre.
And then you feel bad, like, oh, get away.
Yes. I'll stick him on the end of the bed, and then surely, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night, and he's laying right there with his head on the pillow right next to
me. That's just so, like, first thing in the morning, he can come over and go, I'm ready for breakfast.
Yeah, and he has the worst breath ever. We're still talking about dogs, huh?
I was just getting at for
babies.
Oh yeah, no, I was gonna say for Christmas, and I do have to agree with you. The best way to stay married is just the two words, yes, dear.
Yeah.
I have a completely different theory about Christmas versus my wife going out trying to be sneaky about it and buying me really what I wanted and on and so forth. I just call her up. I'll be calling her. We actually have the show after this weekend will be on the 23rd, the day before Christmas Eve. And what I will do is I will get off the show at 11 a.m. And then I will go to the nearest shopping area, and I will call my wife on
the
phone.
What do you want?
Exactly.
Tell me what to buy you.
And the last time I did that, she actually knew the actual order number for Tiffany's. I just handed the phone to the lady at Tiffany's and said, my wife, just here's my phone, and here's my Amex, just charge it.
Fantastic. Well, that's me, too. I mean, Laura goes, what do you want? And I go, well, most of the things I want I've already bought for myself, but you could buy me this box set of, you know, and then I'll list off some movie or some whatever.
Well, I become that girl from Coming to America. What kind of cars would you like? The kind of cars you like?
Totally. Yeah.
What kind of things would you like for the house, honey? The kind of things that you would like for the house?
I become the wiper. Let's take a break here. We're going to come back with Tim Riley and Scotty. Let's take caller five here. We'll do a quick round of 80s rock trivia. When we come back, we have another pair of tickets to see L.A. Guns, the Bullet Boys, and Appetite for Deception this Thursday at Outlaws. Caller five at 503-733-2970. And if we have time here, we'll squeeze in the definitive guide on what to eat from your fellow mountain travelers and when. It's Cannibalism 101 when we return. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. Here with Dennis Pitzenmacher, host of The Fuel Show, Saturdays 9 to 11, and pdxautoflick.com. Let's get, what am I doing here? Let's get Jessica. Jessica, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
All right, Jessica. Are you ready to play 80s rock trivia? This is only because I'm out of fake metal lyrics, and because I desperately have to get these tickets given away, because Scotty has just been too good at fooling the people. And we got this L.A. Guns show coming up on Thursday.
Cool.
I guess there was a question buried in there somewhere that I was giving to you. All right. So we're going to make this one easy, because Rick Emerson cares, and really, I got like 4 minutes before I'm going to be done with it with today's show. All right. Bobby Brown was hosed down with a real hose by what 1980s rock band? In, let's see, there, the, I'll put it this way. Bobby, the model Bobby Brown was sprayed down by what fire hose wielding band for the title track to their second album?
Okay, it was for Cherry Pie, and the band was,
Starts with the same letter, Dennis.
I know what it is.
Yeah, you said winger. No. Oh, come on. Come on! You know Cherry Pie, you know the video, but you don't know the name of the band.
Oh, my God.
Scotty's typing up.
They're a Monster Ballad.
They're on Monster Ballads 9.
Mm-hmm. That's how I know.
Scotty has typed it on the screen. Sarah knows it.
Cherry Pie.
Dennis knows it.
What?
Yeah! Ah! Very good. Fantastic. Well done.
Thank you.
Okay, you are going to see the Bullet Boys, L.A. Guns, and Appetite for Deception this Thursday at Outlaws, right here in Portland. I'm going to put you on hold. Scotty J will get your information. Congratulations, Jessica.
Thank you.
All right, there you go.
It's funny that I said, I first came to mind was Winger, but then I was thinking exact same band, same open shirt, just different octaves.
Totally. Same blindingly white teeth on the front man. All right, we have this. This is Rick. Cannibalism 101. Rick, let me make sure that I've got this closed here. Rick, this email says, this is from Anthony. When consuming your fellow man, so by the way, if you are intending to hike or go up to Mount Hood or anywhere, you want to do others, when consuming your fellow man, follow these simple rules. For quick energy, consume the brain first.
Ew.
We're trying to help.
Well, I guess you are eating somebody.
This is news you can use. Yeah, and if you've already decided to either kill someone or just to eat a guy who's already died, it seems like you can't say ick at that point.
Do you get bonus points for saying it a la zombie while you're doing it?
Brains!
Let's
see. For quick energy, consume the brain first. It's very high in fat and will sustain you should you need to engage in high-energy activities. Like tracking down another survivor and beating him into submission so you can drink his bone marrow.
Oh.
Or sawing through a femur. That might take a few bits.
Femur? I barely knew her.
Where's the... Whoa, come on, give it to yourself.
Sawing through a femur.
You know.
I want my Uncle Charlie sausage.
Damn it. Femur. Feeling weak from wounds, injuries, or exposure? Go for the liver. High in iron and protein for repairing damaged tissue. So it's like a stim pack, but it's liver. Planning to hike your way out? Take a big hunk of meat, like the thigh or gluteal muscles known as ass. Compact protein and can stay in a large, contiguous packet for easy storage. You know, the best thing about this ass, it stays in a large, continuous packet. I can easily tuck the rest into my knapsack.
New Viso ass.
For second breakfast and 11sies. Got any other cannibal-related questions? Next week, we can discuss what herbs go best with a side of herb. Get it? Herbs with herb. Ha, 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 ha. So, thank you. Yes, Tony in the coupe. Were you here? Thank you. Rick, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a series on the Discovery Channel called I Shouldn't Be Alive. And each episode is about some nut job who doesn't stay on the trail and gets stuck in the wilderness for 8 days and almost dies. The best episode was the guy hiking on an uninhabited island in New Zealand. He gets his legs trapped by a boulder in the bottom of a dry creek bed. Then it rains and the creek bed fills up, so he has to breathe through a hollow reed. Then he loses feeling in his legs, only to discover later that some freakish crab was eating his toes while he slept.
No.
Then he gets attacked by fire ants. He does get rescued in the end, though.
Okay.
What's that rescue cost?
I don't know. About the guy with the firecracker in his mouth, Rick. The cracker had the firecracker go off in his mouth. The other crackers in the mountain are not diverting the resources of the news crews. It's just that the idiot in the hospital doesn't have any mouth left to explain how he set it off. Okay, that's a fair point. Really, if you blow off your mouth with a firecracker, you might not really be able to. And he signs it, he signs this email, Merry Christmas, everybody. Yes, sir.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
This email says, Mount Hood is a lot less difficult and dangerous if you climb up the south face. That's what my wife climbs when she does it. That's the easiest way up and the way almost all experienced climbers use. The Texas guys decided to climb up the hard way and went up the other side of the mountain, which experienced climbers know to avoid. Apparently, they also didn't carry a small device, which every climber should have, a PLB, or personal locator beacon, which is like a GPS, which is like $200. But he says double the rescue costs on their sorry asses. I just heard you say something about discussing Sebastian Bach. Have you not talked about the show yet? Oh, yeah, this guy also asked if it was sold out. No. Chris Sneathan.
Did it become Theater of the Clouds?
No, they didn't do Theater of the Clouds because they're fools. I could have told them to do that. Sneathan was estimating, because he's a big sports guy, so he spends a lot of time there. He said last night, if like they wanted to sell out last night, they could have fit, he was estimating probably 16 in there. Probably, you know, many, many thousands of people. He estimated by the time Guns N' Roses, quote, took the stage, he was estimating 4.
At midnight.
Yeah.
At midnight.
At midnight. 4,000. So,
I can guarantee it. Now, the funny thing is
by
you
2
and I...
a.m.?
Oh, they're gone.
3.
You and I have told the story before that you and I went to the Tacoma Dome back in the 80s and saw Sebastian Bach, a la Skid Row, open for Guns N' Roses. And I guarantee you there was not a single seat left unfilled.
Guns N' Roses sold out the Kingdom when I saw them. But people can smell hype, and they know that this is not... I mean, the saddest part was when the guy's like, are you ready for Guns N' Roses? And everybody like, ah. And it's just so heartwarming but sad. You know what I mean? Because it's like, whatever you're about to see, baby, it ain't Guns N' Roses.
Do you have a second? Do you have a second mortgage and 3 kids? Yeah!
Seriously, are you bald? And Chris Sneathan, it's like it's 1990, but we're all bald. You know, I will say this, though. A couple things. A, Sebastian Bach is one of the opening acts. That guy has not lost his step. He was amazing. And I'm not just saying that out of nostalgia, because, you know, because I'll tell you, Guns N' Roses was not amazing. And I've seen
he
a lot of
He really seems talented. He did a bunch of musicals and stuff, didn't he?
He was Jesus Christ Superstar. He was Jesus Christ.
I'm the poster downstairs. Yeah.
He, that guy, his voice has not, I mean, it's not fallen off at all. I mean, the voice, he looked good, still in shape. He wasn't sucking the gut in. He worked the stage. He had charisma. Sebastian Bach was great. He was really, really, really amazing. I will say this one observation. There's a thing that rock stars always say, and it's almost always a lie. They say it, and it's never true. And it's whenever you get a band that is sort of past their prime, and they're kind of doing the reunion or the nostalgia trip or whatever, and they always say this one thing, and it's always just flat-out BS. It's when the only time it's not BS is Kiss, because they sort of exist in their own plane of, they're not like other bands. But bands always say this one thing on the reunion tour, like Motley Crue. They're like, well, yeah, you know, the old fans are there too, but you look out in the crowd, it's a lot of young kids. A lot of young kids who are discovering our music for the first time, and they're there. They're loving it. That's never true. There are no young kids. There is only balding KGON fan base types who are there. That's what it is, man. It's always just ponytail, big, fat, tie-dye, gut, bald. You know, guys shouting like, "Plain Sweet Child of Mine." Last night, though,
did he play November Rain?
They played all the hits, yeah. But I will say this:
any new stuff? Please say they played new stuff.
But the new stuff is really good. That's the irony about it.
Huh?
Is the new stuff? And I have time to go on, and nobody really cares. I will just say, I've heard some of the bootlegs of the new stuff floating around the net, and everybody I talk to has agreed the new stuff way more interesting than the. It's like I don't need to hear this karaoke band do this really pointless version of Sweet Child of Mine. The new stuff, I think somebody just needs to tell him, like, Axel, it's not that bad. Just put the record out. You know, the new stuff's not bad.
It doesn't make any sense that you would do that.
It's not going to make you forget Welcome to the Jungle, but it's not that bad. The band was so glossy and perfect that it was just like listening to, again, a backing track. But anyway, but the one thing I'm going to say about this is last night, he only played like two new songs, by the way, though, and everybody sat down. But last night, tons and tons of like 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, 20, 21-year-olds, and they knew every word. Not there with their parents either. They're packs of like 20-year-old dudes who knew every word. Because, you know, Appetite for Destruction is one of those records, like Bat Out of Hell, that to this day, it still sells a million copies a year. I mean, like Bat Out of Hell, every year sells a million copies with no help. So there were kids last night, and on the one hand, it was kind of great, but on the other hand, it was kind of sad because they were there and they knew every word to Appetite for Destruction. But and I'm like, but I wanted to.
Oh, that's kind of great.
It was great. No, it's great because, you know, because it's a cool classic record. Not just because it's old, it's a classic record by any standard. But I was like, I felt so bad that they had to see this horrible, fake karaoke, watered down version of Guns N' Roses.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why he wouldn't play all new stuff. I mean, granted, I want to listen to Back in Black every once in a while, but I wouldn't want to go if AC/DC all of a sudden had a new album.
It's the same reason he won't put out Chinese Democracy for 15 years because he's got himself all psyched out about it.
Well, he's probably still got a poster of Stephanie Seymour on the wall.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, I'm sorry. We just had the bottom line this today. Where am I at?
I have no idea.
Fantastic. And we're done. Thank you, sir.
No, I mean, you did the 10 pounds of skin.
Oh, I didn't get to that.
Tim Riley's right again and the worst story ever.
Oh. Well,
three? How many were yesterday?
Zero, so I'm at three.
No, you're not.
I am.
Was it zero?
Zero, baby.
You're
Aaron
lying.
Said that.
We'll talk to Aaron.
Zero yesterday.
Okay.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Sarah Dillon produces the show. Dennis Pittsburgh, the Fuel Show. Dave Zinn, Tim Riley, Scotty J. They all come together to make this the Rick Emerson, the radio experience. Thank you for listening. The whole adventure's grinding down. Thank you for listening. See you all tomorrow. Be safe. Like us next. Bye now.
Your dungeon master has placed you in a dreadfully precarious